Welcome to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. Oregon ranks nearly last in the nation for access to drug treatment, yet about 1 in 11 people in Oregon suffer from a substance abuse disorder. A new initiative, IP44, the Drug Addiction Treatment and Recovery Act, has qualified for the November 2020 ballot. If Oregonians pass IP44, it will expand access to treatment and recovery services instead of arresting people for low-level possession of drugs. My guest is Anthony Johnson, Chief Petitioner for IP44. Welcome, Anthony.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Anthony, you were the petitioner behind Measure 91 that legalized cannabis here in Oregon. Talk about your background and why do you now want to create a Drug Addiction Treatment and Recovery Act that will ensure access to treatment?
Yeah, while I was in college at the University of Missouri, more than two decades now, I was planning on going to law school and I planned on just being an ordinary kind of general practice attorney. But that was somewhat derailed when I witnessed firsthand a couple of my black friends treated more harshly than my white friends when it came to being arrested for marijuana. One example was I had a black friend who got caught with less cannabis than some white friends of mine. And my white friends also had alcohol and paraphernalia. And they were just written a ticket and sent to city court. While my black friend who had no alcohol, no paraphernalia, less marijuana, was arrested in front of everybody and they charged him in state court. And the difference was he would lose his financial aid in state court. And so I decided that I needed to do something about this and became a local kind of drug policy reform activist. I first helped get a measure on the ballot in my college town of Columbia, Missouri in 2003. We actually decriminalized personal possession of marijuana in 2004 in Columbia. I moved to Oregon, passed the Oregon bar after law school, and practiced criminal defense for a couple of years. And to be perfectly honest, I was going to need to seek alcohol treatment myself because I was just so heartbroken when I would have nonviolent clients sent to prison for marijuana back when that still used to happen more frequently in Oregon. And I just had an epiphany that I wasn't cut out to stand next to people as they were sentenced to 18 months in prison. I was drinking too much and I decided to work to change the law. And so I started working in the political realm and eventually was chief petitioner of Measure 91, which legalized and regulated cannabis. And then worked through the implementation of that. And then when the Oregon legislature passed a defelonization measure to move the lowest level felony charges down to misdemeanors, that provided an opportunity for advocates to continue that work. And with the aid of the Drug Policy Alliance, who is a major sponsor of Measure 91, with that national backing and local advocates, which ranged about 50 people who work in criminal justice reform, drug treatment, and various recovery, harm reduction. This measure was formed and we were able to gather enough signatures and place it on the ballot because it's really a continuation of really my life's work of ending this drug war that has disproportionately hurt people of color, disproportionately poor people in general. And it's just been a tool to really just, you know, unfortunately to arrest black people at disproportionately high rates, other people of color disproportionately high rates. And it's really just something that's unnecessary. And we've seen that it is just much better to move towards a healthcare based model to treating drug addiction instead of a law enforcement issue. So this is really a continuation of kind of work that I've been doing for now more than 20 years.
So as we said, it is on the November ballot in 2020. Oregonians will vote on IP44. And you just mentioned some of its components, Anthony. Talk about the basic components of IP44.
Yeah, thank you. So it's a really a simple measure. Right now, everything that lowest level possession of drug charges or misdemeanors in Oregon that was passed in 2017. And so we just take those measures that are misdemeanors, which are, you know, up to 12 grams of psilocybin mushrooms, you know, low level possession charges. We turn those into civil infractions, similar to how marijuana was treated before we legalized it, to where it would be a $100 fine for those low level offenses. This measure doesn't legalize anything. It doesn't reduce penalties for selling or driving under the influence or any kind of theft or violence. It only deals with possession charges. And those civil infractions can be waived if you seek treatment at a, well, if you get a health assessment from a drug treatment center. And to help fund drug treatment and recovery services of people that need it, we take excess cannabis tax revenue above $45 million and disperse that to drug treatment and recovery centers all over the state of Oregon. Last year, Oregon brought in more than $100 million from cannabis tax revenue. It's expected to jump up to about $120 million or more this year and potentially go up to $140 million the following year if projections still continue as they're going. And when Oregon voters first voted on Measure 91 back in 2014, the state just projected we'd bring in up to $40 million a year max. So we've more than doubled that. We're going to triple that this year. And so now we have these excess funds that will provide drug treatment and recovery services to people free of charge, unless you have health insurance, and the health insurance company can be billed for it. But it's really, you know, we're just taking low-level possession cases, turning this into a healthcare issue, a civil infraction instead of criminal offense, and the funding, the treatment and recovery services that people need.
Anthony, talk more about the problems with Oregon's drug laws.
Yeah, so really the biggest problem with Oregon drug laws are that, one, it's really a waste of time to arrest more than 8,000, about 9,000 Oregonians every year for nonviolent drug offenses when those police resources can be used for other things. The money can be used for other things. There's a more serious and violent crimes that we could be addressing. And then additionally, the racial component of it's disproportionately Black, Indigenous, and people of color that are more harmed by these arrests and drug offenses. They're more likely to be arrested. You're more likely to serve some type of jail sentence. You get bigger fines. And these penalties, even though it's a misdemeanor, still have huge consequences. They can hurt your ability to get a job. You lose your financial aid if you want to go to college or you're a student. It can hurt your ability to get housing. And so by taking away job opportunities, educational opportunities, employment opportunities, that's the last thing we want to do if somebody has a drug problem. And so you're just pushing them more and more into a situation where they don't have any access to anything other than potentially selling drugs to make ends meet because you've taken away their livelihood. And so we want to stop ruining lives, and we want to, you know, save and improve lives. And this measure will decrease arrests and convictions. The Criminal Justice Commission will issue a final report on our measure, but the preliminary report is that this will reduce the convictions by 90%, which will disproportionately help people of color in the Black community who have been disproportionately harmed by our drug laws.
And talk about more of those collateral consequences that we really don't talk about when we talk about reforms to our drug laws.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that people could be unaware of. And it's come up more and more as you talk to people impacted by our drug laws. A lot of times people might get a job, an entry-level job, and work their way up and have a chance to get a promotion, and then a background check is run on them, and they end up not only not getting the promotion, they get fired because they have a drug offense on their record that could be 10, 20 years old, but there's no way to expunge some of these offenses. You know, students lose their financial aid. You lose your financial aid to improve your station in life, get more educated. Your landlord can kick you out. If you are on subsidized housing, your subsidized housing can be ended, not just for you, but for an entire family. There are instances of, you know, an extended family with grandmother and parents living with, you know, younger kids, and the kid in high school gets arrested for drugs. everybody in the household could lose access to housing. So it's just a disproportionate, disparate way to punish people for what is a victimless offense. And so, and these collateral consequences, you just hear more and more about people's lives being ruined and derailed for something they may have done 10, 20 years ago. And we really need to change that and really help people build people up, invest in people, and stop investing more and more in prisons.
I just want to stress that IP44 does not legalize any drugs, but it does decriminalize small amounts of drugs. So talk about what changes there are to the drug penalties and exactly which drugs does IP44 decriminalize.
Applies all controlled substances that are currently misdemeanors, and these are low level amounts. You know, I mentioned earlier, it's the psilocybin mushrooms. You can have like 12, up to 12 grams. It's 1 or 2 grams of cocaine and heroin. These are low-level offenses. This has nothing to do with selling it. So commercial drug offenses will still remain felonies and illegal under this measure. And so it's just a low-level possession charges. And then if there are other circumstances where somebody committed violence or they're driving under the influence or they're selling, those things will still be punishable by the current law. So this only reduces penalties for the lowest level possession charges where no one is involved with any other criminal offense.
Which services or programs will be expanded if IP44 passes in November?
Yeah, so, you know, to go along with reducing criminal penalties and better prioritizing our resources by funding addiction recovery centers, this measure will look at addiction as kind of a holistic approach. So it funds treatment that's evidence-based, trauma-informed, culturally responsive, and patient-centered. It'll provide and fund peer support and recovery services so people can remain clear and sober. It provides funding for housing, for stabilizing and transitional housing for people with drug use disorders, so it'll allow people to get off the streets. And it also funds harm reduction interventions to help save people's lives as well. And so you see the models for this, like Central City Concern, Bridges to Change, two endorsers of our measure that help get people off the streets, help provide them sober housing, provide job training and job placement. These are the things that IP44 will fund. So it's not just, you know, not just a treatment facility, but what happens when you get out of the treatment facility? You may need the ability to have a place to live so you're out of a situation where you're living with other drug users. You need sober housing, people who are going through the same things that you're going. And you may need help having an address for when you apply for a job. You might need some job training and job placement. These are all things that get funded by IP44 as well.
So, Anthony, you did mention some endorsements. Talk about other organizations that are endorsing IP44.
Yeah, it's really remarkable the level of support IP44 has gotten even before we qualified for the ballot. The AFSCME Union, American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees of Oregon, which represents 24,000 workers across the state. This includes a lot of treatment providers, county health clinics. It includes a Department of Corrections. And so I was really proud of that endorsement. That was one endorsement we didn't get for Measure 91 that I was really proud we got for this measure. NAACP of Portland, Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, Urban League, mentioned Bridges to Change, and Central City Concern, National Association of Social Workers, American College of Physicians, the Whitebird Clinic in Eugene, Outside In, the Asia Pacific American Network of Oregon, Law Enforcement Action Partnership. Really the list goes on and on. The Latino yeah. Health Coalition. I mean, it's really remarkable the number of endorsers we've gotten for this measure. And I think it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that people all across Oregon, all across the country, have felt the harms of both the drug war and drug addiction and not having the services for that. So urban, rural, coastal, eastern Oregon, everybody has felt the impact of addiction, not having services in their lives. And people can see that the status quo is not working. So So arresting and jailing people for drug addiction is simply not working. And when you if you know somebody in Oregon who doesn't have health insurance, who's not wealthy, that wants to get treatment, you know, it's a 1 month to 2 month to maybe 3 month wait to get a treatment bed. And that's just too long for people to wait. When people need treatment, they need treatment now. And that's what IP44 will do. And I really wanted to give a shout out to the Miracles Club of Portland, with early endorsers who does such great work, particularly with the Black community as far as drug treatment and recovery services, early supporter, Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. The list goes on and on, but yeah, we've really been surprised of the level of support. We qualify for this measure early, and to qualify for the ballot, you know, during the coronavirus kind of pandemic lockdown, was a real big achievement that we were proud of, but it shows the huge support we have all across the state.
And Anthony, why don't you give your website right now for people to connect with the campaign?
Thank you. It's yesonip44.org. So it's yesonip44.org. We will have a measured number at some point. We don't know what that measured number is going to be, but we'll still keep this website up and it'll redirect to something that references our measure number. But yeah, yesonip44.org. You can read the text in the measure. You can see our long list of endorsers, and you can also donate, and you can also volunteer as well.
So if this does pass in November, when does it go into effect? And it is statewide, correct?
Yeah, it is statewide. It'll go into effect the following year. There will be a hotline that's set up in February that will allow people who have been charged with low-level possession offenses to call to get access to treatment, and then also to find out where you can get treatment. And so so on February 1st, we set up a 24-hour hotline that will allow people to get the treatment they need, and we'll have the decriminalization aspects in effect as well.
And Anthony, now the campaign requested an analysis or an impact statement of how IP44 affects those criminally charged for drug possession, especially people of color. Is this correct? And can you talk about that?
Yeah, so for the first time ever, there will be a racial and ethnic impact statement that is compiled by the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission to give an unbiased view as to how they project this measure will impact races across Oregon. It's the first time this has been accomplished because you need an elected Republican and Democrat state legislator to both request it. And I mean, I think most people know in our polarizing times, it's hard to get a Democrat and Republican to agree on anything. But we had Lou Frederick, who represents Portland, and Sherry Helt, who represents the Bend area, who's a Republican, both sign on to ask for this breakdown. And it shows that Native communities will see a reduction of 94% in the number of drug convictions. Black community will see a reduction of almost 94, it's 93.7%. And then it's over a 90% across the board. So we'll see a vast reduction in the number of possession, and these are only possession offenses, a vast reduction of these possession offenses. So the first impact is people aren't going to be arrested. And I think anybody that has paid attention to the news understands what can happen, particularly to black people and people of color when they have a law enforcement encounter. And then additionally, those law enforcement encounters take time to arrest somebody, book them, take them to jail, show up at various court hearings for a motion to suppress. All that time takes money that taxpayers pay. And it takes away from investigating rapes, robberies, murders, you know, violent crimes that people are concerned about. So we'll be able to redirect law enforcement resources to not have these encounters and to have free up more time to go after violent and serious crimes. And then additionally, these savings that we will encounter. Eco Northwest did a study that projects that each misdemeanor drug offense, every time somebody gets arrested for a misdemeanor offense, it costs Oregon taxpayers between $25,000 to $35,000 each time there's a drug offense versus $10,000 to pay for someone's treatment. So we will have savings from taxpayer dollars for this, and those savings will also go into the fund. So there's two pools of money to fund drug treatment and recovery services. One is the excess cannabis tax revenue above $45 million, which will be about $60 to $100 million immediately. But then we'll also see the savings from these law enforcement costs when there's 90% less drug convictions across the board, disproportionately, Black, Indigenous, and people of color.
And I understand this impact statement will be included in the voters pamphlet in November.
That is correct. So, and when everybody gets their voters pamphlet, they will see a fiscal impact statement, you'll see an explanatory statement, and you will see a criminal justice, racial and ethnic impact statement. So they have a chance to read this and have a lot of information about what IP44 will do.
And talk about the funding. Now, some of the funding comes from the marijuana tax. From where will those marijuana tax funds be diverted? And where will the other dollars come from?
Gotcha. Well, one thing that we have found, and we've kind of learned our lesson about Measure 91, is that it's hard to track where the funding kind of goes when it gets sent to an agency. So Measure 91 passed, 40% go to education, 25% to drug treatment and recovery programs, 15% to state police, and then 10% to cities, 10% to counties, earmarked for law enforcement as well. It appears that the education and drug treatment funding has not been excess funding like we had hoped. And since Measure 91 passed, schools have gotten $1 billion tax increase. And so as far as schools and drug treatment goes, we are unlikely to see any kind of reduction in those funding. Drug treatment will actually see a lot more funding. And then there's Oregon State Police and the city and county law enforcement. They currently get a combined 35%. They will still keep the money up to $45 million. And again, when Oregon voters voted on Measure 91, the fiscal impact statement that was included in the voters pamphlet projected that we'd make up to $40 million a year. So now we far outpaced that. So this is only the excess funds that far exceeds what was initially projected.
The marijuana tax currently, some of that does go to public schools. So that will not change at all.
So the marijuana tax revenue, 40% went to state school fund, but it's pretty easy to do some Googling to see that the excess revenue, the additional funds have not really gone to education like they're supposed to. That's why we learned our lesson to not intermingle our funds with other agencies. That's why, and under this measure, the Drug Addiction Treatment Fund will be its own fund and not be intermingled with any other agency. So if you look at the government reports on their budget, it's not expected that this measure is going to decrease funding for schools.
The initiative, again, will be on the November 2020 ballot, IP44. It will have another ballot measure number by November, but it is the Drug Addiction Treatment and Recovery Act. Anthony, what are the next steps for the campaign, and how can people get involved?
So best way to get involved is yes on IP44.org. Sign up to volunteer, and we will definitely plug you in. We would love some donations to the campaign for sure. We would love people to host some, Zoom house parties, and help spread the word about the measure. We can even have somebody from the campaign go over the measure at some house parties to answer questions. People can share their stories. Some people can write letters to the editor, accompany us to editorial board meetings. There's a lot of ways to plug you in and share your story. We will be working on just spreading the word all across the state of Oregon. So we'll be going to editorial boards. There'll be debates. We are not going to just, run up the score on the votes along the I-5 corridor. We're going to fight for every vote all across the state of Oregon. And we want to not only win this November, but show that there's a huge mandate to fund drug treatment and recovery services all over the state of Oregon. This is a priority. This is something that needs to be addressed. And then additionally, that this is not going to be the end of reforming the criminal justice system as well. There's much more to be done around expungement provisions, for people to have a possession charge 20 years ago hurt their ability to get housing or a job is ridiculous. And so we want to pass some expungement provisions. We want to, you know, further improve the law to help Oregonians all across the state. So we will be fighting for every single vote. Sign up at yesonip44.org. Help share your story and help us get the word out so we can fight for every vote all across the state.
And Anthony, is there anything like IP44 in the nation?
So the only thing similar are law enforcement assisted diversion programs, which by and large have been a huge success. So it's very similar to those, except the law enforcement assisted diversion programs are, you know, optional. It's at the discretion of law enforcement. And so these LEAP programs allow law enforcement officers and judges to refer people to services, drug treatment, recovery, housing services, and monitor them, and instead of enrolling them or getting them entangled in the criminal justice system. This has happened in major cities all across the country, but it's at the discretion of law enforcement. So this measure will mandate that similar type of treatment. Instead of arresting, prosecuting, and jailing people, we provide funding for the services that people need. The closest example of a law, you know, mandating a program like this is Portugal, which decriminalized possession of drugs over a decade ago. They brought together really their health and drug experts because they were seeing a skyrocketing number of drug overdoses and HIV infections. And they, you know, brought together experts to change their drug policy. And they decriminalized drug use and funded recovery and treatment and harm reduction programs. And by all accounts, it has been a huge success. Drug use is lower than most other countries in the EU. The AIDS, HIV rate has plummeted, overdoses plummeted, and it's been a huge success. And so similar to what they did in Portugal, this initiative brought together experts in the field to comprise a new policy towards treating drug use, to treat it as a healthcare issue instead of a law enforcement issue. But we will be the first state in the nation to do this, but I guarantee you we will not be the last, because other states will follow, similar to how Oregon was the first state to decriminalize personal possession of cannabis. We were one of the early states to legalize medical cannabis and legalize cannabis for all adults. And you see other states, you know, learn from Oregon, and we'll see that with this measure as well.
Anthony Johnson, that IP44 address one more time.
Yes, on IP44.org. Sign up, donate, volunteer, spread the word, and we look forward to working with voters all across the state of Oregon to end these harmful criminal penalties and fund drug treatment and treat drug use and addiction as a healthcare issue instead of a law enforcement one.
Thank you so much, Anthony.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for listening.